Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Kelvin talks to digital marketing consultant Adrian Rowe, chairman of Red Sea and of the Institute of Direct Marketing North, about a white paper on designing more effective emails. All coming up in Internet Marketing.
So Adrian, I know Red Sea have been doing email marketing for a long period of time. Can you tell us a bit about kind of the background and some of the campaigns you worked on and kind of how you came to get involved in email marketing as a channel and an approach?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That was probably well over 10 years ago now. I remember going to one or two presentations in, 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of American email service providers coming over to the UK.
Yeah.
And we got quite excited about it because, you know, where our background is a direct marketing agency, and email marketing is the perfect form of direct marketing, you know?
Yeah, so a lot of kind of what would work for direct is similar, but I suppose there's even more measurability than you would have had for a direct marketing.
Oh, lots of measurability. You know, if you send out a direct mail pack, you don't know who opened the envelope.
Yeah.
You don't know who read the contents of that package. You don't know for how long. All you know is they responded or they didn't. Mm. With an email, you've got such a rich data set.
Mm. Mm. And, you know, part of the reason for us getting together to have a chat today was this white paper, or I suppose even e-book's a good way of describing it, called The 10 Inbox Secrets. And you kind of in that kind of talk about some of the things that you think people, when putting together email marketing campaigns, should really kind of focus on. What do you think, if you could kind of sum it down to one, that's the mistake that you think most people tend to make with their email marketing that they ought to spend more time kind of working on or trying to improve and refine?
I think the mistake that most people make is to work from a template.
Yeah.
So, you know, the and perhaps to take your customers for granted that they're simply going to open the same email, you know, same style, same format, you know, just the products that your marketing have changed. But working from a template rigidly is likely to lead to a lack of engagement over time.
Mm. And that actually then I suppose that, you know, different, if you're kind of thinking about each individual email campaign or each individual email that you're sending out, that has a purpose, and actually the best structure or format or layout for that purpose could be completely different to a different email that's got a slightly different objective. So if one is to kind of, I don't know, you know, reassure people, you know, tell people about a new sale, that would perhaps have a completely different physical structure to one that's about, you know, new products or, you know, actually a product that you've been interested in coming back in stock, that kind of thing.
That's absolutely true. We always try to recommend to clients that they pursue a rich and varied inbox because that's the best way to sustain a long-term relationship with their email database. You know, a digital postcard one week to announce the sale, but a rich, you know, engaging newsletter the next week to tell people, you know, give people added value content, if you like.
And I mean, one of the things that's always, you know, with a lot of the email marketing I do kind of on behalf of the agency, the events that I organise, I kind of often have gone for more of a plain text kind of appeal. And I know, whereas the agency, we've gone for a bit more of a conventional newsletter design. You know, it strikes me that whenever I've been working on an email marketing campaign, it's one of the hardest challenges of getting the design to work across multiple platforms, more so than perhaps even on normal web design. Is that kind of something that, you know, you think is is that a challenge that you guys have to face, and any advice about kind of managing that process?
It's a major challenge. Yeah. I think the big challenge of the last 12 months for every email marketeer is creating responsive emails.
Yeah.
Across various campaigns in various sectors, we've got somewhere between 30 and 60% of our emails being opened on a device other than a desktop, a smartphone or a tablet or something. Therefore, we have to create more flexible, more responsive emails now, which does create constraints on design.
Yeah, I suppose that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, because you're talking about 60%, you know, that's a huge...
It's phenomenal, isn't it?
And, you know, is any kind of patterns that you're seeing in that? Because I know you work a lot with retailers, but kind of different sectors. Is it like certain customer demographics are perhaps more likely to be on mobile, or is it perhaps more B2B, so therefore... Or is it kind of completely, actually, it's their list and, you know, one retailer could be completely different to another retailer, even if they're in a similar sort of space?
It's quite surprising. You would expect it to be age-related, wouldn't you? You know, the more youthful the target audience that you're going out to, the more likely it is to be opened on a mobile device. But I think the growth of tablets is very much coming amongst an older age group, and therefore it's not as demographically... demographics don't define it as well as you might think.
And I know that kind of, you know, in the book you talk about kind of words that paint pictures, you know, that kind of thing, and the important element of kind of visual communication in email. Any kind of, you know, I know that you've got a real strong kind of design competency there. Is there any kind of like particular things that someone's kind of trying to put together, choose images or choose kind of visual elements of their email that they should look out for?
I think it's really, images are very important for attracting attention. You know, there are two jobs to do with any piece of marketing. Yeah. This applies not just to email, but to 48-sheet posters. You need to attract people's attention, and then you need to sustain it.
Yeah.
And you attract people's attention with typically with the imagery or maybe a strong graphic device. But then, having attracted their attention, you actually want to get sales messages across. Yeah. You know, you want to inform them. Mm. And therefore, you know, when you're using imagery to attract attention, persuading people, you know, making eye contact, we're all automatically programmed from birth, you know, from the cradle, to make eye contact. And we do it on print, we do it, you know, with the TV and so on. And therefore, you can exploit that desire to make eye contact in your email marketing to draw people's attention, you know, to a particular message. But then, close to that in peripheral vision, you want to have a substantiation of that message, you know, some copy about why this product is exciting or new or cheap, you know, and then a call to action.
I suppose that's kind of a really good way of thinking about the emails, kind of almost breaking it down into various stages, and each of those are about kind of attracting the attention. So first of all, it's a pit. Well, you've got to get them to sign up to the mailing list, but kind of that's, I suppose, a different topic that maybe we can talk about in a second. But yeah, you've got to write that subject line to get them to open it. Once they've opened it, you've got them to actually, there's going to be that snap decision whether they then spend more than a couple of seconds on it, and then you've got to kind of get them involved, and then you've got to make them do whatever the desired action is out of that. Do you think that's kind of those visual or graphical elements, are they good to test, or actually are people, you know, if they're starting out doing A/B testing in their email marketing, you know, subject line is the best place to start, or is copy actually, you know, any experience in terms of things that are perhaps easy when people are starting out in email marketing, or at least looking to take it to the next level in terms of testing, particular things that you think are good to get on the testing agenda?
Okay, well, clearly, you know, in order to persuade people to open an email, the subject header is the place to start, and that's always worth testing. You know, most of the email providers will offer you a kind of pre-testing platform, so you can, you know, you can test four different subject headers on, you know, the first 5,000 of the database, and then the email provider will roll with the best, winner of that four-way test. There are things that you can do in subject headers to encourage open rates. The use of personalization, the use of symbols is growing. That's quite powerful. But you know, in the end, it's about do you have a great product? Have you got a compelling message? You know, that the basis of writing good subject headers is the basis of writing good advertising copy.
And, you know, as an agency where you're kind of working with clients to put together these types of campaigns, is it harder when you're doing that testing? Because effectively you've got to get four times as much, you know, content signed off. Or actually, is it more about kind of setting the general parameters with a client or, you know, bot? You know,
no, there is a limit. There's obviously a cost involved in testing. And therefore, I think, you know, my teams over time have come to sort of you know, have come to experience using experience and judgment to recommend to clients, you know, what's likely to prove powerful and what's likely to be relatively unimportant. So you have to kind of make some judgments.
It's true, actually, I've never thought about it in that context before, that actually, like, often, you know, everyone and myself including talk about testing because, well, there's improvements there, so you try four things out, you go the best one, that's the improvement.
Yeah.
But what you've got to also do is make a sum and an assessment there, isn't it, where actually if it takes costs four times as much, because if you assume that, you know, you've got four variations, it takes four times as long to produce, the email needs to be quite a lot more successful. A couple of percent improvement here and there isn't going to...
It's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, therefore, you know, to create a testing program that runs on, let's say, you know, that accounts for 10 or 20% of your effort, it is really sound.
Yeah.
But you still want to be putting, you know, 70% or more of your effort behind proven, you know, a proven mainstream program. Mm. I think it's good to think of it in those kind of contexts. You know,
start with
what you know and gradually add to the sum of your knowledge.
So that's it. You kind of, focus. And I suppose for some people it's kind of do more testing, but don't go over the top because actually you've got to make the assessment on the return there as well. No, really, interesting way of thinking about it there. I hadn't kind of thought about it in that context. Now, I mean, I've been looking a lot into email marketing for an event we're going to launch in the new year at the moment. There's this kind of interesting discussion that seems to be going on in the space about the value of segmentation because, you know, I think a lot of people, particularly kind of with the, you know, ECRM and the increased amount of data that we can know about our customers, so we know what they've purchased before or we know that they fit these certain demographics or we know that they've got this interest in this topic. So kind of generally speaking, the people mostly seem to think that segmentation is a good thing to do because the more targeted you can do. But then I've also heard kind of a flip to that coin. A lot of people kind of discussing, well, actually, much in the same way we're just talking about the opportunity cost of, you know, creating different tests, that actually the time it takes to create these additional segments, it, you know, potentially if you're kind of, you know, you've got 20 segments, therefore you're producing 20 emails, so therefore, it's tricky to make that segmentation sums that up. Have you had much success with kind of segmenting lists for kind of a retailer and, you know?
Yes, well, I think the key is to actually look at long-term segmentation. So in other words, if you're, you know, like you might be, Calvin, simply creating some email marketing for an event, which is going to, you know, run for, I don't know, 8 or 10 weeks leading up to the event and then be done. Overcomplicating the segmentation is not something that I think you would find productive.
No.
If you've got, you know, a program that runs season after season, then maybe segmenting out your new customers, your new newly acquired customers, and actually giving them, you know, perhaps an introduction in bite-sized chunks to all the services you offer in your business. So new customer segmentation or a nursery program, that's a really sound piece of segmentation. Segmenting out your top customers, you know, the ones that keep coming back to you time after time, regularly buying what you've got to offer, regularly opening your emails, then segmenting out that group, you know, your top or most loyal customers, that's a worthwhile segmentation. The other kind of segmentation I think that is becoming more exciting as the technology evolves is the ability to actually segment on behavioural characteristics. So people that browsed my website yesterday and spent more than 2 minutes looking at red dresses, the next morning they get an email in their inbox with an offer on red dresses. That's quite powerful.
And I mean, I think that it does feel to me like that's the huge opportunity, isn't there, this kind of, and you're getting it also kind of in other aspects of marketing as well. So you see it also on the retargeting, so you'll browse a product, then you'll see display adverts related to that product, and if you can kind of tie that in as well, that if there's some kind of continuity,
multiple attribution.
I mean, it does start to get into the question then about who takes the credit, but certainly does feel like that's an area that it does well there. And kind of any you know, with some of the clients you've worked on, some of the project, anything particularly that if you're going to set up one of these ones that's, you know, behaviourally segmented or email that's, you know, triggered by actions on the site, they're kind of good places to start, or any technologies or solutions or tips that you'd recommend to people who kind of going, I can see the value in, like, if someone's browsed, you know, the red dress area of my site and spent 3 minutes there but not purchased, I can see that they would be a good group of people to talk to you about how do I go about doing that. Is that
okay? There are a lot of providers on the market. I wouldn't want to recommend just one because generally across a range of clients we work with a number of providers, especially services. So, you know, there are people who can offer you abandoned baskets, triggered email programs, and these are bolt-ons to your existing
email
technologies.
Marketing solution.
Very
yeah.
simple to do.
Yeah.
So there are some quite exciting technologies around for enabling that.
Yeah. I suppose what you can then do is then be more quite... And then if you're then going to go down the testing point of view as well, that you kind of go, okay, well, if someone's put an item in their basket, we can do an email that just follows up reminding them about it. We can do an email that talks about special offers on discount, you know, on delivery, or a special offer on that product.
Absolutely.
Or kind of, you know, perhaps a more general email where, like, I don't know, 80% of it is the standard newsletter or appears to be a standard newsletter and 20% is tailored to that product. I think that's one that I see Amazon doing quite well, where it's like they'll talk about the...
Amazon are the masters, I'd say.
Yeah. No, yeah, really, really interesting perspective there on that side of things as well. So, with email, you know, to what extent have you been seeing that, because you do a lot of offline work as well and you do design and that kind of thing as well. You know, is there kind of any particular examples or situations where you've seen people make that connection through? Because sometimes I think digital, more and more, it's front and centre of the marketer's mind, but kind of often it will be the digital team working and you're getting integration between digital, as we talked about, the integration between email and advertising and copy there.
Yeah.
But, you know, any advice for people who perhaps there's still that barrier between, okay, their direct mail and their print and design and the email? Because I think there's a good area for collaboration between the two there. Yeah.
I think it's really important to break down the barriers. Yeah. So we're seeing a lot of integration now between email and social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll perhaps announce a new Facebook competition to our loyal customers via an email.
Yeah.
You know, or we may... launch a new offer through social media and email at the same time, but not only sort of digital connection, but also, you know, email connecting with offline.
Yeah.
So when Marks and Spencer launched their new wonderful Christmas TV commercial, they actually emailed the TV, you know, they emailed the TV commercial to their existing customer base, which was very powerful. And I think that was ahead of the launch on TV.
Yeah.
So that was quite exciting. We see a really strong role for email as a follow-up to direct mail. So direct mail, infinitely more expensive and therefore, you know, a challenge, but also very powerful.
You know, direct mail campaign.
70% of people open an envelope, whereas maybe, you know, 10 or 15 or 20% of people will open your email. But the ability then to follow up those people who haven't responded to the direct mail with one or more emails, you know, and maybe adding to the offer or extending some kind of a deadline.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
Well, I suppose it's just a nudge then, isn't it? Because it's, you know, I'm the same.
I
will open a huge amount of my mail, but it then sort of sits on that pile by the door and so I've got to do that and I ought to go and do that. Whereas the email then... I'm at that point, you know, far more able to go off and...
email is great for overcoming inertia.
Yeah.
And, you know, the marketeer's greatest enemy is inertia.
Yeah.
We have lots of people out there who fully intend to buy our products but never quite get round to it, you know, and... that's a great way of doing
it. Fantastic. Well, I think there's some great insights there into email marketing. I can really recommend the white paper there, the 10 inbox secrets. There's a huge amount that I took from reading that that's kind of helped me in my kind of design. And I think email as a topic is one of these ones where it's so, so important. It's, you know, it's because it's so well established, it's often kind of not seen as quite as exciting as some of the other aspects of digital that we might all be working on. But actually, I think pound for pound, you know, hour for hour in terms of time you spend on it, you know, I think it's one of those ones that makes so much difference. I know with the events that I've been launching that actually people often say, oh, you know, you know, digital marketing conferences, you know, you must have great experience using kind of SEO to drive conversions to your site. It's like, no, it's all about email and social as well for us, but it is that kind of, you know, getting a list. If you've got a list of people who are interested in your topic and you can put together some content that's going to appeal to them and you've got their email address, you're in a really strong position, isn't it?
Because email is so cost effective, the return on investment, you know, for digital channels, yeah. the return on investment for email is almost certain, and the conversion rate is almost certain to trump any other digital channel. So it's really important not to lose sight of, you know, testing and evolving and refining your email marketing, you know, all the time.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much for that. I'll include a link to the ebook in the show notes, and we'll really enjoyed the talk there, Adrian.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kelvin.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.